What I would like to do is have you interact with me this morning on the quiet time. And basically, we'll just cover these four questions, and we're going to do it on a group basis. That is, you are going to feed the information in, and this will set up, hopefully, the next hour of discussion in your small groups. And so we hope to be able to give you enough information and cause enough problems for you to be able to discuss in your discussion groups. So we'll cover what is a quiet time, why is it necessary, what are some of the problems that you're encountering in the quiet time, and then how. Just some very basic principles, three or four little principles that I have and like to give out on this particular thing. So let's have you take a moment right now and just turn to the person on your left. And I want you to do, pick somebody beside you. And I want you to discuss what is a quiet time. Now, not the results, not what you get from it, but what is a quiet time? Okay, take about a minute and just go ahead and discuss that out loud. Okay, enough. Now I want you to tell me what your neighbor just told you. What is a quiet time? What did your neighbor tell you about the quiet time? Anybody? Time with God. Okay. All right, anything else?
No kids.
No, that's one of the problems. We'll get to that a little later. Okay. What else?
Personal time with God.
Personal time with God? Good. Okay, what else?
Starting
the day with God as your number one priority.
Definite time.
A time to listen. Good. Okay, now let's do the same thing on why is it necessary. Take a couple of minutes and just share with your neighbor why you feel the quiet time is necessary. Okay. Why? Why is the quiet time, why is a protracted time with God on a regular basis necessary? Okay. Preparation of your heart and attitude, eh? Okay. What else?
God desires our fellowship.
Ooh. God desires it. That's good. That didn't come out the last time I did this session. And that is excellent. God desires our fellowship. Tremendous. Okay. For direction, determining God's will for my life.
We grow. know him.
Equipment
for the day. Okay. Equipment for the day. Priorities, to determine priorities. Okay.
Yeah, orderliness, eh? Get my head together.
Okay, good. If
you really love someone, you want to spend time with
them. Okay, it's the development of a relationship. It's a mutual coming together. Fellowship. Good. Beg your pardon? Yeah.
Obedience,
eh? That's kind of coupled together there, right. There's a tricky balance there, isn't there? Between doing it in the flesh and mechanics, just, you know, getting caught up in the mechanics of it. But we also recognize that our flesh does need to be crucified, and we do need to move toward the Spirit. Okay, other things. Why is it necessary? Okay, just remembrance of what he's done. Discipline. Okay. All right. Now, how about giving me some key passages, some good passages that you know on the quiet time that pertain to that. Let's just get a bunch of references out here so that those that are not quite as familiar with the quiet time and so on will have some passages that they could meditate on throughout the week. So let's have some passages on the quiet time that you know.
Mark 1:35.
Good. Could you quote that, please?
No.
I knew I was going to get that kind of reaction, particularly from Jim Morris's group. What is that? Is that your life verse and rising up a great while before noon?
I
see. Okay. Do you want to paraphrase it or?
I'll read it.
Okay, read it. Okay, good passage. Mark 1:35. I won't ask everybody to quote, so you.
Psalms 5:3.
Do you want to read it or?
My voice is out here in the morning, O Lord, in the morning, for I've never heard you able to look up.
Terrific.
Psalm 1:38.
What's that say? Beautiful. 3:10, Philippians. Go ahead and read it or quote it.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable in his death.
Beautiful. That I might know him.
Luke 22:40. Watch and pray that you enter not into
temptation. 22:40. Watch and pray.
Psalms 1.
Psalms 1, yeah. The whole Psalm. Matthew 6:6. Boy, that's beautiful. Terrific.
Psalm 32:8.
Good. Terrific. Colossians 3:1. Quote it. Seek those things which are above. Terrific. 63:1, Psalm.
James 1:5.
Yeah. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm sorry? 2 Timothy 2:15. Can you read that? Okay, terrific. Others? Terrific. Jeremiah 15:16. Okay. I think you can see that there's probably enough scriptural commands and instruction on the quiet time, on why it's necessary. Now let's talk for a moment here about problems. What are some of the difficulties in maintaining the quiet time? Okay, we already had one. Kids or interruptions, okay? Yeah, that would come under that those interruptions, the telephone. Planning what to do. It's, you know, your system. What do you have a system, or is it just kind of flop open the Bible and hope that you hit a good passage? A sleepy elbow, yeah. Let's see, I think it's spelled A-L-A-Z-Y, yeah, lazy, something like that. Anything else? Come on, there's some other problems.
Stick to it.
Okay, just discipline, sticking at it. Being harassed by the enemy. Lack of desire. Or a lack of it, eh? Openness to the Word.
Sleeping in.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Sleeping in.
Sleeping in. Just that laziness or lack of discipline, not being able to rouse the body. Okay, yeah, right. I think that's
early to bed,
early to rise. Huh?
Priorities.
Priorities.
Concentration.
I can't see. I just got blinded. Concentration. Okay. Dryness, eh? Just kind of, you're in a rut, and okay. What else? Yeah, how to relate your quiet time to the rest of the day, and it seems like some of us get up and have a telephone conversation with the Lord, and then nothing connecting. I guess that would be application throughout the day and how to maintain that. Okay. Religion. It just, you know, it's something. It's a method. Okay, good. All right. Now, what I'd like to do for a second here is particularly with you ladies, I'd like you to speak to how some of you that are gaining victory and having victory in these particular areas, and you can speak even if you're still struggling, but how do you handle, particularly you gals, how do you handle the constant interruptions, and what has been helpful for you, particularly if you have children, little kids? Where do you get your quiet time, and how do you schedule it in, and how do you protect that time? Because it seems to me that this is one of the key problems. Yeah. Try and get up before the whole family, which can be a real problem, particularly if you, you know, we have a little one 3 years old, 3.5 years old, and he's a 6 o'clock riser, and you know, my wife is not a 5 o'clock riser. But that is a solution. You know, get up 15 or 20 minutes early and
discipline your children to know that if you're in the bedroom with
It's a no-no, okay? That's good, though. That's part of it, just training your kids not to interrupt when you're having that time. Beautiful. Man, that's terrific. Hope you gals are making some notes here now. Okay, some others. That's a beautiful.
Make sure that your time with them is meaningful enough that they can stand there, you know, not being with you at that time.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, this is something we're working on. We have a 9, a 7, and a 3-year-old, or almost 4. And we're working now on, you go have your quiet time, because that's what we're going to do. And give them some kind of a format or reading program that they're involved in. And this has been fairly successful. Not completely.
One thing that we do is just to let them have a little time of prayer with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the time is more meaningful for them. They're seeing you do it. And if they're going to come in my footsteps, I want them to see those times.
Beautiful. Good. Give them a part in it, and then. Good. Okay. Now, ma'am, let's. You gals have got some more information there now. I think in your discussion groups, you'll get quite a bit more. Men, how about you guys speak to the whole idea of just busyness. And priorities. It seems that most men are extremely busy with their businesses and work and so on and community activities. And this would be one of the problems that would surface out of this. How do you handle that? How do you handle your quiet time? How do you schedule it in? What's your particular solution to this problem of busyness? Set the alarm a half hour before the day's really going to get started, so to speak, eh? Good. Do you get up when you... I do that too, but I... Great. That's right. Just plan to get up a little bit earlier. Yeah.
That's when I'm seeking to start my day. And I try it in the evening, but I'm using some food by then that I usually go to sleep.
Yeah.
Mornings is fine.
Yeah, now I do know some people that are successful in the evenings or, you know, that kind of thing, but not many. The most men that I associate with are early starters, and they just lock that in as a priority. Okay.
Really, I feel like I get a lot more out of it because my mind's been in use all day and I've got a practice going for me.
Good.
When I'm studying in the evening, I find that after the little guy's asleep, it's really a lot quieter and easier to
concentrate. Yeah. Good. Well, that's excellent. See, Waldron Scott, by the way, he's a night person. And, he doesn't get up very early in the morning, and he's the same way. He's wired up to study at night and to seek the Lord. And I think
One other thought I have found that usually I wake up with thoughts on the mind that I had when I went to bed.
Hmm. Good. Yeah, that's excellent. Okay. Some other thoughts.
I don't have victory over it, but just seeing the difference between having a quiet time and things when I don't have
quiet time. Yeah. Yeah, just the success pattern, you know, when you have a quiet time and when you don't have a quiet time, that's motivating in and of itself, yeah.
Perhaps a balance to that is that we shouldn't let ourselves get psychologically wiped out. Sometimes we just won't be able to do it.
Amen.
Don't let your whole day go to waste.
That's right. Very good. Yeah, we walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And whether we have a quiet time or not does not affect our relationship with the Lord. Probably it affects more our mental attitude than anything. Yeah, that's right.
There was a hand back here.
We each take our quiet time sometime during the day, but at night, this week, before we go to bed, we read and the Bible, and discuss it and have prayer. It's changed our life.
Beautiful. Okay. Okay. He feels a cold shower in the morning. Gets you off to a quick start. And that's good. Right. Well, I think the key to it is knowing yourself, isn't it? I think that's basically what we've said. And same with the gals. That it's really knowing what, you know, what does the day hold? What's it look like? When is it best to fit that in? And then beginning to work toward that. And so there's system involved in that. I think people are unsuccessful because they just don't think. And they don't think through on their day, and they don't plan, and so on. And so I think basically what both the men and women have said here is that they fit it in to their lifestyle. And I think that's right. That's what we want. We want to fit it into our lifestyle, but we definitely have to make it a priority to get it in. Okay, let me just give you three or four very, very obvious principles on the quiet time, particularly for you people that are new to this kind of thought. And these are so simple that they don't need to be elaborated on too much. But obviously, pick a time. If you're going to have a quiet time, pick a time in your day and in your schedule that fits you and your lifestyle. Secondly, and I think this is very important, particularly for me, a place. And I would caution you, if you're wired up like most of the people that I deal with, don't, if you have an office in your home, or you ladies have a desk where you pay the bills, or that, don't do it there. It's too distracting. I mean, all those bills piled up there. Or you men, if you have an office in the home, I find that I cannot really have a good quiet time. I just, you know, I peek over at that in basket, which is stacked high, and there's just too much reminder of the busyness of the world in front of me if I do it at my desk. And so I try to, you know, we have a chair in the bedroom or wherever you like to have it, but pick a place and frequent that place. It doesn't need to be there every day. But I find that I, you know, if I go to that one spot and I'm having my quiet time there, day in and day out, that there's just a preparation of my heart as I move toward that place. And then thirdly, and we didn't elaborate on this, and it might be one, if you discussion group leaders would like to pick up on this, I think it would be very helpful. But know your plan. You know, what are you going to do in your quiet time? Specifics. And again, a suggestion on this is to have variety. I like to set my pattern for about a month at a time and figure, okay, well, this month I'll spend my quiet times in the Gospel of John or whatever. And so I know every morning when I get up, I've already made the decision. But I change the pattern every month. For instance, one month, I might just review my verses for my quiet time as my intake of the Word. And why not? I mean, they're the choicest passages on various subjects that I know. And so it can be a very refreshing time. And also I like to conserve the time as much as possible. So I'm doing two things. You know, I am reviewing my scriptures and I'm also having my quiet time. Some months I'll do my Bible study during my quiet time in terms of the intake of the Word. Spend a half an hour every day in my Bible study. It's amazing how much I can get done. But variety is great. And the main thing is to know what you're going to do before you get there. And so figure out how you operate best. You know, maybe you want to revise it every 2 weeks. But figure out your plan and move toward that. One final verse. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desires, see, even the lazy person desires, but has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, this is one instance where overweight is a good thing. But you see, I used to pray for years. I prayed, Lord, give me a heart and a desire for you. And you know what? I had a heart and a desire for him. But it didn't make it any easier in terms of discipline and obedience. The soul of the sluggard desires and has not. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And that's the thing that carries you through the dry periods in your quiet time. That's the thing that carries you through the Christian life, is when you realize that, hey, I am dry. This does appear to be mechanical, but I am going to seek the Lord. You know, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligence, obedience, is probably the prime ingredient to a successful Christian life. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and then you're dismissed to your discussion groups. There's a conference photo. Oh, you're going to make some announcements. Okay. Lord, we thank you for this time together when we can refresh ourselves in thinking about the quiet time, spending time with you. I pray you'd lead the discussion groups now to be able to meet specific needs. And each of us, Lord, are needy people. We have different needs, and only you can meet those needs. And I pray that that would be done in these discussion groups. In Jesus' name, amen.